And this morning kind of is going off what I wanted to talk about, the importance of a house, the importance of what we're doing. I've started to realize with Lorraine, we were talking just the other day, something's moving in our house. It's just that I wasn't here 2 weeks ago. I was speaking in Sydney, and apparently he preached everything we had just done in Connect. And to the point where Lorraine said to Pastor Tony, said, did you watch the DVD, the study that we did before you preached? And he said, I've no clue. And then I look at what the girls are doing in kids' church, and there's a theme that is just erupting through our house. And I know that when God has got his hand on a place, everything comes together. Everything, it falls into place, everything God is doing. But this morning, I really want to just speak to you about the importance of a house. So much time of our and energy we spend asking God, why haven't things changed? We officially in June now, the halfway mark, we're all about to prepare our financial ending for the year and things like that. And most of us will spend the next few weeks questioning God, saying, why haven't things changed? Maybe possibly business situations have not changed. Finances are still getting worse. Maybe you're still struggling with your health. Maybe there's just challenges that you thought you would have overcome by now. And your question to God has been, why are certain prayers not getting answered, God? Why am I still struggling in this area? But I want to tell you this morning that just because you're uncomfortable or just because you can't see a change tells me this morning that an unanswered prayer means the anointing is still being prepared for you. That an unanswered prayer means that the anointing for what you've got to receive is still being prepared. Can someone say amen? Psalm 133. This is a song. This is David called this a song of accents. Some of you may have it in your Bible as a pilgrim song. But the song of accents means a song that is currently moving forward. And a pilgrim song means it's a song about a journey. So this psalm that I'm about to speak and tell you about this morning, it's about a journey that God is doing. There's a season that is upon David's life as he speaks this psalm out. So do you get that this is just a chapter of David's life? And I want you to hear what this psalm says. How good and pleasant is it when God's people live together in unity? It is like a precious oil upon the head running down to the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessings, life forevermore. I'm going to read that again. How good and pleasant is it when God's people live together in unity? It is like precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard and the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like dew of Hermon descending upon the mountain of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. So God talks about there is a moment where God shall command a blessing in the chapter that you're in. Can someone say amen? That final sentence says, for there the Lord commanded the blessing. And if you want anyone to give you a blessing, you want God to give it to you. And this psalm said that there, now I questioned myself and I said, where's there? There, how good and pleasant is it when God's people live in unity? Where is there when God commands a blessing? It's in the unity of the brethren. Can someone say amen? So we sit there and go, God, where? But God's saying, get into the presence of my people under my anointing, and there shall I command the blessing for the chapter that you're walking through. Can someone say amen? He didn't say, stay in your bedroom and pray really hard. He said, in the unity of the people, there, that's where he commanded it. We are so running to and forth finding God, and God's saying, I just want you to get in unity, because in the power of agreements, God is saying, that is where I manifest my glory. Where is it, God? It's where God's people are together. In the upper room, they were there for 40 days and nothing was happening. And in chapter 2, it says that when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. They were all together In one, see, the Holy Spirit could have come the very first minute they said, let's go to the upper room. But he didn't. He waited. You know what he did for 40 days? He filtered through. Because you know how many people would have come and gone through that upper house room? Oh, seriously, we still got to be praying? Seriously, we're still going? Oh, okay. Look, I'll come back tomorrow. He waited 40 days. And once the 40 days had come, when the people who were committed, when the people were ready to stand forth, that's when the day of Pentecost came. Not sooner, not the day of resurrection, not the day of crucifixion. The day came of Pentecost that you and I live under the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The day of Pentecost came in one when they were all one in one accord. Not only does this imply that the power of unity, but it tells us the anointing flows once you as a person have come under the unity where the anointing is flowing. This is not about attending church. This is not about getting boxes ticked in your diary going, God, I made it to church 3 times this month. This is about that you are in church because you're acknowledging that there is a destiny upon you. And until you see fulfillment in that chapter, you are going to be present in unity with the people of God. Can someone say amen? That's what it says. It says because you don't understand that you're in church not because you just got nothing else. You're in church because there's a fight going on in your spirit. Because the breakthrough hasn't come yet. And in the house of God, that's where he said he's going to command the blessings from. That's where he's going to speak. It doesn't matter how confident someone looks on the outside. Inside this church, this very moment, we are all fighting our chapters. We are all facing lions and bears in our world right now. And that's why it's so dangerous to compare each other's lives. Because you don't know what my lion looks like. I'm standing on this pulpit with great confidence because the anointing comes upon me. But you have no idea the line that I'm carrying, that I'm fighting. But this morning was not beyond just me being in church because that is a commitment I've done. But it's fighting the line head on and saying, you will not have this chapter in my life. I will stand here. And what happened, regardless of what I knew was about to unfold, I stood in the presence of my family and friends and my church in unity. And I said, God, I know who you are. God, I trust who you are. I may not have much left, but you provide. I may not know what to, but you are greater in it. That's what I did. And guess what? I was telling the lion that I'm facing in my chapter, you have no authority for what I'm going through because I know who my God is. I know I trust him. I may not have all the answers. I may not have all the chapter finished, but I know who my God is. But I know who my God is and I trust him because in the presence of my God, that's where the anointing flows. Can someone shout amen? You don't know the lion that he's facing, the one that's sitting next to you. But because you have been given the strength and the strategy, you will take him out. In this church, you will be given the strength and the strategy to take out every lion and bear and Goliath that you are facing. Because there, the Bible said, I shall command a blessing to go forth. The Bible says in Psalm 92, verse 12 to 15, we all love to read this scripture. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. For those who are planted in the house of the Lord, they shall flourish in the courts of our God. And they shall still bear fruit in their old age, and they shall be fresh and flourishing. To declare that the Lord is upright. He's my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. It's in the house of God. You know, when he says, when it's about you and him, when it's a personal encounter, that's what God says. He says, be still and know that I'm God. That's what he says. When it's just him and me, it's about him leading me to the still waters, remember? But when I'm in the house of God, that's about flourishing. That's about declaring the anointing. That's about seeing the enemy defeated. That's about standing under the anointing that God has given. That's what church is about. And the Bible said in this psalm, shall flourish those who are planted in the house. We learn on Friday night. And I had this sermon finished way before and we heard on Friday night. It doesn't say those who are transported from house to house. Give me permission to speak as a pastor right now. If you transport a flower every couple of months or every couple of years, that plant will die. It doesn't say those who are transported and planted in 2 different houses. I'm going to speak with permission this morning from my senior pastor. The minute that Hillsong opened their doors, people in this house started to go there of an evening and coming here of a morning. If I split you in half, are you still going to be at your full strength? And I adore Hillsong. I have so much great friends in there. I have a lot of friendship, but I do not do Sunday with him because God has called that house to that house. I've been called to this house. Can someone say amen? And what is happening in this house is what I need. We learn on Friday night that you are in the house that God has called you into because that is where he's going to have your destiny planted. You cannot be serving somewhere else and serving here and then expect those that are planted. You're not planted. If I cut you in half, if you have only half a body, do you think you'll be as strong as you are with one arm, one leg? You will not be. And that's why the psalmist says, those who are planted deep down within the roots of the house, they shall flourish. The word shall, wherever you see the word shall in the Bible, says this, it is to be declared. The word shall, the word of the Bible talks about shall all the time. And I started to read it so differently because the word shall means to be called out, to be declared. Listen to what the word flourish means. It means to excel, be influential, to prosper, to succeed, and to thrive in all that you do. So let me hear what Taylor says. It says, for those that are planted in the house of God, not ticking boxes off, not planted and transplanted every couple of years, those who are planted in the house of the Lord, they shall be called out to be excellent, influential, prosperous, successful, and they shall thrive in everything they do. Can someone shout amen? Because those who are planted in the house of the Lord are being called out to excel, to be influenced, to prosper, to succeed, and to thrive in all that you do. Church, let's become a church that is strong and knows the power of the house. In the house, in the church that you're planted, that is where you shall flourish, because that is where God says, I will excel, influence, prosper, succeed, and thrive you in everything that you do. And David said in his scripture, the Lord commands. You know what the word command means? To appoint a decree. Final sentence. It is a decree. And you know who put that command in? The Lord commanded. So God has decreed and declared that there is nothing that is going to happen, because there God is going to decree and demand a blessing to go on your behalf. Can someone say amen? Where is he going to do it? In the house of God. Where is he going to shift from? In the house of God. Where are you going to get your healing from? In the house of God. Where are you going to see restoration? In the house of God. Because there God is going to command a direct authority direction. It says in the dictionary that it is above any law. Because who knows that my God, he's above anything that this kingdom works under. There, God will command your healing, your restoration, your renewal. This exact chapter that you are walking through has been appointed to you. This exact chapter you are going through right now, it has been appointed to you. Can someone accept that this morning? This exact chapter that you are walking through, it has been appointed to you, because in this chapter is where God has decreed and declared the anointing shall come upon you. God, but I can't feel your unanswered prayers, but the anointing is being prepared. God, I can't feel you moving in this situation, but the anointing is being prepared, because I'm planted in the house of God, and that's where I'm going to flourish, excel, and be influential. This chapter will change you. It will change you to release and handle the destiny that God is calling you to. But you may say, this chapter is feeling everything but that. Gosh, I feel confused. I can feel that things aren't going. Sarah was destined to have children. That's what God said. We know the story of Sarah, right? She was destined. God said, you shall have. Every chapter she walked through was about being barren. God, you couldn't pick really any other thing? Couldn't she have hardship in finances? But the thing that was inside of her, so deeply inside of her, God called her to go through those chapters. Entire chapters of barrenness. You know why? Because your destiny defines who you are, not this chapter. Because your destiny defines who you are, not this chapter you're in. God changed Abraham's name from High Father to Abraham, the father of multitude. But at the time that God said this, Abraham was a father to nobody. And his wife at this point was called Sarai, which meant princess. And God changed her name to Sarah, the mother of many nations, because their name had to establish their new identity that was coming out. God says, I now realize that your chapters have been very hard for you to carry, but I've commanded a blessing of children upon you, so I will change your name to it so it matches your identity, the destiny that I've called you to do. God changed Simon's name to God has heard to Peter, you are my rock. And you know, when you read the story of Peter, sometimes God referred back to him as Simon. Every time that Peter started to act like his old self and not the rock that he'd called him, he called him back, called him Simon. But Simon knew, my new name is Peter. I'm a rock. And caused him to change. But each person that God changed their name, and there were so many in the Bible, had been taken through major trauma. Sarai had to carry this deep burden of not having children, desiring to have children but couldn't bear them. But nothing she did could change it until their encounter with God, until there was a moment with God with her, and God spoke that identity into her. But from then on, you know, the Bible says that he spoke to Abraham, and Sarah was in the tent when this happened. And he said to Abraham, I've called you and your wife, she shall bear a child. In Genesis, you remember, I've got the scripture up there. And he said, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life, and behold, Sarah, your wife, will have a son. But the Bible says, why didn't he let her conceive right there and then? God gave her 12 months to sort out her system, to sort out her belief system. Can God really do this? God has said this. Can he really do this? Some Bibles say that, some translations say that at this time next year, but the New King James says, and he said, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. I read what the according to the time of life was in Hebrew. Listen to what it says. According to the time of life, the Hebrew, I will certainly return to you and fix what is overdue in its season. You have not been overlooked. Can someone say amen this morning? When God said, I will certainly return to you because I have not overlooked your heart's desire. I have not overlooked every tear that you have cried. I have not, and I will come back and I will fix what is due in season. Can someone shout amen? So when God said, I will certainly return to you, then he said, when he said that, the Bible says that he left. Then the stories continued and it had to be Abraham and Sarah's story. See, because remember, a few weeks ago, I was teaching in the church that at that very moment when Abraham and Sarah were confronted with what God had spoken, so they've heard those words, I will certainly return to you and I will fix what is overdue in season and what has been overlooked. I'm going to come back next year. But for the next 12 months, Abraham and Sarah, you need to get your faith back right with your God. You have to trust me that what I've said is going to pass. And remember what I said faith is. Faith is evidence of what you actually cannot see. Come on, are you here with me this morning? Faith is evidence of what you can actually not see. Do you remember what that meant? It meant that something that is currently inaccurate for what you're experiencing. So what is happening is faith is moving in your life. You're saying to your circumstance right now, what I'm living out right here, right now, is currently inaccurate for what God has spoken. It's overdue in its season, but God shall return and it is coming to be corrected, proven correctly, says the word of God. Can someone say amen? So that heart desire that you're carrying before God and saying, God, what are you doing? This is what God is doing. He's telling you, walk the journey of faith. I'll come back next year. I'll walk this show. I will see your prayers answered. But you have to understand that your faith journey is acknowledging that what you currently cannot see is not what it's supposed to be. It is currently inaccurate for what you are seeing. And it needs to be proven correctly. Even if it feels like it's overdue or it's way too late, God has not overlooked your situation. God has not overlooked your situation. Are you here with me this morning, church? I do not know who this sermon is for. It's starting from me for the first and foremost. But whatever your heart's desire is, whatever the cry of your heart is, the Holy Spirit is here to tell you this morning that what you are living is current and accurate for the destiny that God is calling you to. But as you come into the house of God, as you commit every single Sunday, I'm going to come. And if it means I'm going to fight on my knees, or if I'm going to shout from the hilltops, I'm going to come to the house of God. Because in the planting of the house of God, that's where the anointing flows. That's where the anointing flows and prepares me. That's where God shall, He will excel me from there. He'll excel me from that moment, and I will be empowered from what I cannot understand right now to what needs to be proven correctly. It's the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Thank you. I don't know what the cry of your heart is this morning. All I know is that God is going to speak to you and say, I will certainly return and I will fix what you feel has been overlooked. And in due season, God will bring it. Because this chapter does not define what you're going through as your destiny. Your destiny has been called and it has been set, and God says, you're just on a faith journey right now. And that faith journey is inaccurate for what you're doing, but I will prove it to be correct. I will prove it to be correct. You just watch me and see. Sarah, I said to you, you're going to be a mother of many nations. She laughed inside of her. And God even addressed the laughter. Because you think, oh, God, you know, just laugh. No, He addressed the laughter. You need to go on a faith journey this morning, Sarah. And you need to work out. I've spoken that what was overdue is coming to pass. Because what is inaccurate right now shall be proven correct. It's inaccurate. You are right now on a faith journey. What you are currently seeing is evidence of what is not happening. But the Word of God says that it is evidence of what God is about to do. It is currently inaccurate for what you are seeing, but it shall be proven correctly. The anointing. In that first psalm that we read, God spoke about the anointing. He said it was like an anointing poured over Aaron. From his head that ran down through all of his beard. And there was so much in just in that one statement that I could go into, but just for time, the oil just ran. If you come up on our stage, there's marks on our you probably might see there's just marks all over this thing. Because about a year and a half ago, I came and I anointed the platform. One for when every time we take it as leaders of the house, but every time the music, I anointed it. 2 years later, the stains are still there. Do you know when I walk past them? And when we're going through a hard time in the worship team, or we're going through challenges, you know, when Tana's trying to do amazing stuff with only two or three people, I look at the stains on this carpet and I see the anointing that God poured on that place. Because the anointing stains. The anointing stains. The anointing stains you. If I got a jug of oil, just stand here. And I just poured it, because this is what the Holy Spirit talks about. He pours from heaven. If I just poured olive oil, she would have to have about 10 showers to get rid of it for a start. It would go in every little hole that she has. It would go in her ears, through her fingernails, underneath it. It would go on every part of her body. When she walked away, if I were to just cover her with olive oil right now, when she starts to move, what will be her footprints will be covered in oil. And God says that where you step your foot, I have anointed that. And God says, I'll cause anointing. So you, when you look back and go, this chapter doesn't make sense. This chapter feels like I've been overlooked. This chapter doesn't make any sense why God is doing it. You can see your footprints of where you've walked before. I had anointing through that chapter. I'm going to have anointing through this chapter. Olive oil is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. Olive oil is produced once the olive starts to bleed. Once the olive has been crushed and tortured, it will release its natural oils. The scripture talks about first pouring that oil out, and only can come, listen to me, once the elements have been crushed. I can pray over the olive as much as I want. But until I start to physically crush it, and what it feels to it will be complete destroyment, only then will I get olive oil out of it. This chapter may feel like it's crushing you, but it's calling the elements that are within you out to bring the anointing from you. You are being crushed, what it feels like. But that is the oil that God is saying, it's time now. It's time now. It's time now. I often talk about when a mother is due for that baby. It doesn't come with just, oh, let me just sit back and relax. Are you ready? You're about to go and experience some of the greatest pain your body's ever going to experience. This chapter may be crushing you, but it's calling the elements within you out. This chapter is building you. God will change you before he will ever change your circumstance. God will always change you before he'll ever change your circumstance. When the olive oil is crushed, then and only then, what is inside of it will be released. When it's your time for your anointing to be released, it will flow as if it was something natural upon you. When it's time for your anointing to be released, it will be like something that was naturally for you. Another translation says, it's like costly oil being poured. The word costly means that someone's paid a price for it. And you know what? You're paying the price for that anointing. So don't let it go. Don't let this chapter define if you see the ending of this chapter or not. Don't let the pain and the confusion and the what you don't understand define what is going on and rob you from the destiny that God's calling you. You can't buy anointing. It flows from the place that you're walking in. And once you've chosen to walk the journey, conquer the chapter, stand and stood the test of time, allowed the pain and the struggle to strengthen you, then and only then will the anointing flow through you for that chapter. Like oil poured over Aaron, from his head to his beard, down his garments, it covered him. And the anointing will follow through every step. Once you've allowed God to take you through this chapter of healing, forgiveness, dealing with offense, dealing with hurt, with confusion, then the anointing is going to flow. But I want to finish with this. The anointing is so powerful, so powerful. Jump back up, Esther. So she's covered with the anointing, covered. Who knows that when you cover something with oil, it's just slippery, isn't it? What happens every Sunday? Listen to me here, church. Every Sunday, God gets a fresh oil and anoints her for the chapter. Every Sunday, that's what he does. He anoints her. Give her a couple of liters of oil. What will happen when I try to grab her? I'm going to slip right off. What happens when the enemy comes? Esther, don't worry about it anymore. Just give it over to God. What is he going to do? He's going to slip right off. When he goes and tries to torment her mind and he tries to go and touch her head, what's going to happen? The anointing is on there. It's going to slip right off. When he tries to grab her feet, says, don't go to church this Sunday. You don't need to go to church. They'll understand if you don't go to church. Don't worry about it. It's nothing going to be there. You're not going to miss out on anything. What's going to happen when he tries to grab her feet? She'll just go like this. And her foot will slide out of his grip because she's been covered under the anointing. But if she doesn't come and get her covering under the anointing, where the Bible says the anointing flows in the house of God, the Pentecost happened. Once they're in unity. What happens when he grabs her and she's not under that anointing? He can get a firm grip. He can get a firm grip. But God says, come under that anointing. Come under that anointing. Come under that covering. Come under that anointing. Because there I will command a blessing into this chapter. When she's been covered, there is nothing. You know what? The enemy can go and say, Esther, don't worry about it. She won't even be able to hear it because there's so much oil in her ear. You know when you've been to the pool and you're like, that's what happens. There's too much oil inside there. I can hear muffling. You know when people have got, you've been to the beach too much and you can't hear, and all you can hear is muffling? That's what happens when the anointing comes and Satan tries to say something to you. You can't. It never will. Huh? What? Huh? What's that? I can't hear you. I have too much anointing. I will get every part of my body. And that's why God says he'll pour it all over her, all over her, all over her. So when the enemy goes to grip her feet, her arms, don't do it. He slides right off. But what happens is that what she touches is anointed. So you know what she needs to do? God, my finances aren't changing. Get her bank accounts and just touch them with the anointing on her hands then. Right now, you are being anointed. Whatever your heart's cry is, go and touch it. Your books are not in a line. Your business is not moving. Get all your books and possibly, hopefully you wrote them down like Habakkuk says, write them down. Call that destiny. Lay your anointed hands on it. Don't tell me that when you are tired on a Sunday morning and the enemy's saying, just stay home, that is by coincidence. The enemy knows exactly what is about to happen in the house of God. We came to church as children. If we were sick, if it was thunderstorming, if there was flood, we came to church. And now I understand that they were building an anointing upon my life that I still to this day walk under. Can someone say amen?
Amen.
Under my senior pastor's feet, his footsteps, his anointing, I walk under. I go to the States because I walk under my senior pastor's covering. I've walked into my dreams and my destiny because I followed his footsteps. He's anointed, amen? They're anointed. They don't get here at 8 o'clock on Sunday morning just to sit because they don't want to do it. They come to anoint themselves, to lead you into a place of anointing. Because out of there, God shall command a blessing. God shall command a blessing. Out of this house, you shall see destiny come. Out of this house, you shall see destiny come. Out of this house, you shall see your dreams and your desires come to pass. Out of this house, because the Bible says that where you are planted, there he shall call forth excellence, influence, success, and there he will call you to thrive.
Amen.
I come here and I get under the anointing and I thrive in my finances. That has nothing to do with what I'm doing here. I thrive in my business. I thrive in my desires because the anointing follows me once I leave this house. This Sunday, when you go home, I want you to go home and I want you to walk in certain places of your house. Walk into your children's room and just go, I'm anointing this room. So that when my son walks into this room, he's going to step under the anointing I've just received.
Amen.
That's what's going to happen. You're anointed right now. You walk into the kitchen because there's a hardship in that kitchen because that's where all the arguments happen. You walk into the kitchen and your feet are stained this morning. Your feet are stained with the anointing. And you just walk around that kitchen and you declare that every time someone sits in this kitchen, they will bring peace with them. They will declare that God will bring unity in this place. In that kitchen is the place where they say where the heart is. In that house, every time people are going to sit in this kitchen, they're going to feel the heart of God. They're going to feel security. They're going to feel comfort. They're going to feel love. What happened? Nothing. You walked with your anointed feet in that house. Can someone say amen.
Amen, amen.
You know what? You need to go and anoint your studies and anoint your visas and anoint your children and anoint your issues and anoint the house and anoint your husband and anoint your father and anoint them because then they can't be touched. Can someone say amen?
Amen, amen.
Let's get up on our feet this morning. Amen. And telling you that the enemy is causing you and saying, don't worry about going this Sunday. There's nothing that's going to happen. Oh, yeah, there is. I'm going to get anointed for what God is doing. I'm going to get a step closer to my destiny. And in that moment, God is going to shake me and I'm going to be renewed because out of that place, I shall flourish, says the Lord. Out of that place, I shall flourish, says the Lord. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. I just want you to lift your hands this morning. If this is your church, I'm excited for you. But if you've received this message this morning, I'm going to prophesy Psalm 133 over you. And as I speak it, I call the anointing of the Holy Spirit to come and release from the words that I speak and cause it to be crushed olive oil upon their situation and their chapters, God. And Father, those who are feeling like they're crushed to the very core, in the name of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who's given destiny upon us, nobody else but Him. If this is you, I want you to lift your hand. And I prophesy that when God's people live together in unity, it will be like precious oil upon their head. running down from the beard of Aaron, running down on the edges of his garment. It will be like dew from Hermon, descending upon the mountain of Zion. And for there, the Lord shall command the blessing over your life. This chapter does not define where God is taking you. This chapter does not define where God is taking you. In the name of Jesus, would you begin to give God honor? Let him crush you if that is what's happening. Let him release you if that's what God is happening. But begin to declare that out of this place, out of this house, out of this chapter, God shall call an anointing. In the name of Jesus, we cry out, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. In Jesus' name. Come on, just worship him.